Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. I'm your host. Thank you so much for listening to Food for Thought and for subscribing at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for sharing it with others, for leaving ratings and reviews, and for supporting it. Food for Thought is a 100% listener-supported podcast, so please become a supporter today at patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau to support this work. And thank you so much to those of you who already do. If you'd like to travel with me vegan style around the world, please check out cpgtrips.com. I'm partnered with my wonderful friends at World Vegan Travel. You could also go to worldvegantravel.com to see the trips that I'm doing with them and the trips that they're doing on their own or with others. Please join the mailing list if you'd like to be notified of future trips. And then finally, make sure you visit my website, ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com. You can go to joyfulvegan.com as well. Right now, that website is being used mostly for the book, The Joyful Vegan, but the main website where you can find all of my work, my life's work, podcasts from the past, other books, etc., is all at my main website, ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com. And you can find information there about my upcoming appearances if you'd like to check out a book signing or a speaking event with me. And of course, you can also still get tickets to the TEDx talk I'm going to be part of in May. This is 2020. I'm grateful to continue to hear from so many of you who find inspiration and motivation in this podcast. This is an email from a listener I thought you'd like to hear. She wrote, "I just wanted to write in and say hello and thank you so much for the work you do. About 18 months ago, I decided to predominantly go plant-based after watching Forks Over Knives on Netflix. I was nearly 50 pounds overweight, sick, depressed, and had tried and failed so many crash diets that I had resolved myself into a lifetime of disease and lethargy." Breaks my heart. "After watching Forks Over Knives, I went about 90% plant-based and I lost all my excess weight and felt amazing. But still, I would go out and have animal products about once a month. However, the more research I started to do into plant-based diets, the more I came across the reasons people become ethical vegans. I started to really think about how devastating animal agriculture is for animals and the planet. In my 25 years of life, I had never learned about what factory farming even was. During this research, I came across your podcast about 3 months ago. Because of you and the information you give on your podcast, I can proudly say I have since gone completely 100% vegan and I never plan on eating animal products again. I feel the best I ever have in my whole life, but my fundamental shift from being mostly concerned about my own health and well-being to that of animals makes it easier to stick to this lifestyle, and my soul feels lighter knowing I'm doing what I can to not contribute to animal suffering. Thank you for everything you do." That is just so heartwarming. I love that so much, and thank you so much for taking the time to write, and thank you for doing the work that needs to be done for us to just open our eyes and find out new information. I talk in The Joyful Vegan about that whole process of staying willfully blind, and then the thing that spurns us on to make the changes we need to reach the goals we want to. And I'm just really grateful for you for listening and for writing. And honestly, again, if you're just listening for the first time, or if you haven't picked up the Joyful Vegan book yet, this is exactly the kind of thing I talk about in the book. The thing that makes us go vegan or plant-based isn't necessarily the thing that keeps us vegan or plant-based. And for so many people, it starts with one thing, but it becomes many. And so I'm just really grateful. Thank you so much. Today's topic is everything I know I've learned from living, 50 ways to create a meaningful life. Hello, I hope you're doing really well. Today, if you're listening today on the day this episode was released, it's my birthday, and I celebrate 50 turns around the sun today. And while it's taken me some time to get comfortable saying that, I'm 50, it is a thing to celebrate. Every day is a day to celebrate, and I've always known that. And of course, I'm very grateful to be here. There was a time in my life, A long, long time ago, I didn't think I would make it to another day, to be honest, and so I'm very grateful for the time I have been gifted to spend here on this earth. 50 years is a gift. It has been a journey getting comfortable with saying these words, but I really feel like I'm on the other side of it now. I really am very grateful. I am human like everyone else. And I think for me, it's been the physical changes that inevitably come with aging that are the most difficult, the ones that put you face to face with your mortality, especially the reality that things will continue to change, which, as my husband says, is the only constant. Change is the only constant, and death is the only certainty. And I don't say that to be morbid. None of us are closer to death today than we were yesterday or the day before. We've all been close to it since the day we were born. Every one of us is born with a death sentence. We just don't know when or how it's going to come. And I'm very grateful that this is something that I feel I've always known, because as much as I have failed and faltered in my life and squandered time, I feel like I have always held fast to the awareness that life is short, and as such, I better make it meaningful. And in fact, I was thinking recently as I was crafting this episode that started really more as a journal entry, that the quote I chose for my junior high school yearbook photo was, "You don't know what you got until it's gone." It was from the song Hard Habit to Break by Chicago. I was 14 years old, and it was a popular song at the time, so don't judge me by the music I listened to then. I listened to some pretty cool music then, but I'm sure I listened to some pretty awful music as well. So there's a line in there. Obviously, that line has been used in many other songs and mediums, but you don't know what you got until it's gone. And the point is, I was always aware that that was a risk, not appreciating something, not appreciating someone, not appreciating life until it was over. And so I have worked really hard, and I have made it a point to live life in a way that I didn't take anyone or anything for granted. I worked really hard. I have worked really hard, and I continue to work hard to make this a meaningful life. I've tried. I've certainly messed up in many ways, and et cetera, et cetera. And for all my faults, and I have many, I can confidently say that from the time I was very young, I've at least had a pretty healthy amount of self-awareness. I always knew when I was doing wrong, and believe me, I did a lot of things wrong, continue to, still do. But I was always aware when I was making poor choices. I was always aware, and I still am aware when I'm making poor choices, or when I hurt others, or when I knew I was going to hurt myself in something I was doing, in an action that I was going to take, in a behavior I was choosing. And of course, many times I did the wrong thing anyway, even though I knew it was wrong. Self-awareness does not preclude you from having self-control. But I was always contrite, and I still like to think I am. When I make mistakes, I still feel really bad. Like, I feel really bad when I did something wrong or do something wrong. And I have been eager to admit it in my life, and I've always tried to rectify it. Again, I have made many mistakes, but I've tried to rectify them. I've always wanted to do better, to learn from where I went wrong, to have the chance to do better next time, and to not squander the short time I have on this earth to create meaning and purpose in my life. That has always been the most important thing to me. And I can say for certain that when I've experienced the most despair for me, it's been when I felt purposeless, when I felt rudderless, when I felt that who I am and what I've done and what I do is meaningless. Whether, I mean, and even today, just on a given day, when I feel my worst is when I feel that what I've done that day has been meaningless, that I didn't get enough done. And so certainly it definitely compels me to put pressure on myself, but that has always been the center of what I seek to achieve. That has always been the aim. And so while I was reflecting on this, I was thinking, yeah, like I've rarely asked, like, how can I be happy? How can I live a happy life? That's not what has concerned me. I've mostly asked the question, how can I live a meaningful life? How can I have a purposeful life, or whatever it is? How can I find meaning or purpose in this situation, in this experience, in this relationship, in this life, etc.? And then happiness follows my sense of purpose. My peace of mind, my contentment comes from whether or not I have found purpose or meaning in a situation or an experience or in a relationship in general. That is what brings me peace of mind and contentment and happiness, is when I feel that I have found purpose or meaning. My unhappiness stems from when I don't feel like I'm living a meaningful life. Something I believe deep in my bones, and you've heard me say it before, is that life is a series of lessons and gifts. That every experience we live, every experience we have, is either a lesson or a gift or both. There's always something to gain, glean, learn, or contemplate from everything that happens to us. And just as you've heard me say that I'm hopeful because I choose to be hopeful, in the same way, in choosing to find meaning in every experience under any circumstance, I have found the path to a meaningful life. Like, that's what it is that I find meaning because I choose to. Does that make sense? I choose to. That's what I focus on. And now, obviously, this is not a unique idea, but it is one that I have subscribed to my whole life, that in choosing to find meaning, you create meaning. Now, if you've ever read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, you will know that that's what he believed. And if he can have that perspective after enduring what he did, then I think anyone is capable of it. Frankl was a prisoner in Nazi concentration camps for 3 years during World War II and experienced and witnessed agony and brutality and cruelty that most of us hopefully can't even imagine. And what kept him from giving up was finding a purpose to his life, a meaning in his life to cling to, even in the most despicable, violent, cruel, hateful of circumstances. That is what he chose. And that's exactly what he observed about his fellow prisoners, that the people who were able to survive the camps without losing the will to live were those who clung to something that gave them purpose and meaning. Those who have a why to live can bear with almost any how, he famously wrote. And so, in celebration of my 50th birthday, I decided to write down exactly how I've sought and how I have found meaning in my life. Actually, I've organized a list that I've been working on for some time. And so, to make it more meaningful, I decided to whittle this list down to 50, because it just feels more meaningful to me. Now, I am not presuming to share what I think the meaning of life is. I would never be so bold as to do something like that. I'm sharing 50 ways that I practice finding meaning in my life, either in terms of action or orientation, in terms of behavior or perspective. And as I started creating this list and writing this episode, I realized it was getting very long if I elaborated on each of the 50 in this episode. And so I decided to switch gears, and I hope you'll like what I've come up with. This relates to you. I've been working on, this is one of the reasons I had these lots of lists and lots of entries, both online in my journal, about what is meaningful and how we can create a meaningful life, because I've been meaning to do and wanting to do, wanting to create a manageable, sustainable way to increase the frequency of food for thought. And that would give me the space to restart Animology. And so it hit me. For today's episode, I'm going to share the list of 50 with you. And I'm certain that that alone will give you at least some food for thought. And then subsequently, I'll be sharing more details and resources in fleshed out episodes for each of the 50. And frankly, I have more than 50. And so this kind of relates to, you know, I had a mailing list and I've been thinking about bringing it back for a long time. And again, I just have to make sure it's done in a way that's sustainable for me, because I hate starting something that I don't finish. And I really didn't like that I pulled this list. It was called the Daily Dose of Compassion. And it was a daily email list that people signed up for. And you got every day a daily email from me about pretty much living a compassionate, meaningful life. And I just couldn't keep up with it. And I didn't have the right systems in place. And I didn't have the right support. And so I pulled it. And I don't like that I did that because I don't like starting something that I don't finish. So the point is, I've been thinking about bringing that list back. And I think this would be a way to make it, to give it context and to make it meaningful and to make it possible and sustainable. So I think doing it this way will make this more meaningful. And as I said, it will enable me to do more episodes rather than just squeezing everything about how to create a meaningful life into one episode. That's a lot for one episode. So that's why I decided to break this up. Know what I mean? Jelly bean. So some of what makes my life meaningful are habits I perform every day, or at least regularly, and some are the perspectives I hold that, of course, dictate my behavior. So when I look at this list, I kind of look at some are actions and habits, and some are perspectives and worldviews and just an orientation. And so maybe that's just a way for you to think about it as you're thinking about this list. Some, of course, I aspire to practice and get better at. There are plenty of things here that I do not do perfectly. So this is not in any way a list of like, this is what I do every day and I do this perfectly. Please do not take it this way. These are definitely aspirational. But for the most part, these are aspects of my daily life, like mostly daily for those that can be done daily, and those that can be done daily. Like, this is pretty much what I do. And, you know, again, I don't do them all perfectly. Like, number 28 and number 35, I do not do perfectly well at all. And so there's lots to share, and I will do so in upcoming episodes. 50 is enough to start with, and I like the symbolism of starting here for my 50th birthday. So here you go. Here's my list for my birthday, 50 ways that I create a meaningful life. I hope it helps you. I do not presume to believe that it will. I just thought it might, and people ask me a lot. I am asked this question a lot about kind of how I have the perspective I do, why I hold the worldviews that I do, how I'm able to continue to do this work, how I'm able to function knowing that there's cruelty in this world, what makes me joyful, what makes me hopeful. I'm asked these questions every day. I'm asked these questions by you, by listeners, by followers, by readers. I'm asked these questions when I'm on interviews. So, you know, I obviously am someone who called myself the joyful vegan. I did that very naturally. It just felt authentic for me. And you better believe that if I'm going to call myself something like the joyful vegan, I better be able to answer to it. I better be able to speak to what it means to be a joyful vegan, or just what it means to be joyful and live a meaningful, compassionate life. So if you're not interested in what, you know, what these are for me, because I don't know, if you're not interested, it's okay. But if you are, here are the 50 things that I've used to create a meaningful life. I, of course, want to hear your list as well. And I encourage you to create your list. And even if they're just a few, I'd love to know from you how you seek to find meaning in your own life. So you can share those thoughts, please, with me on the page for today's episode at ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com, because I really will look at these and I really will add them and I really will incorporate them and give you credit. But the point is, like, I want to hear from you. I have many things to learn and I have many things to learn from you. So don't hesitate to do that. That would be very meaningful for me. And I mean that genuinely. So here you go. 50 ways I create a meaningful life. If I elaborate on any, it will just be for a short bit. But for the most part, I'm going to just list these out to not overwhelm you. Number one, wake up early. I wake up very early. Now, this does not mean don't get enough sleep. It means wake up early. Number two, greet the day with enthusiasm. I'm always very excited to wake up. I love the morning and I usually open my eyes, and as quickly as my eyes are open, I usually have a little excitement in my head and I kind of talk to the morning and say, good morning. Good morning, day. And it sounds really stupid, but I do that because I'm very excited to wake up. And then there's lots more I do after that, and that will have to wait for the episode about that. Number three, create rituals and routines. Number four, journal in the morning, journal in the evening. Number five, keep a commonplace book. Now, this is a type of journal. Some of you may have heard of this. You can look it up online. But a commonplace book is basically a compilation of knowledge for future reference. And it's not just your knowledge. It's not your journaling. It's not really your thoughts necessarily, but it's other people's knowledge and other people's wisdom, other people's thoughts and opinions. And it's a way to compile inspiration that you want to look back to that are things that are meaningful to you. And you can even categorize them and index them according to topic. So keep a commonplace book. Number six, practice gratitude. Appreciate everything. Number seven, create special and sacred spaces in your home, outside your home. Just have special sacred spaces. Number eight, spend time in nature and contribute to nature. Plant trees, plant flowers, plant natives. Number nine, remove clutter, reduce stuff, live simply. Number 10, this is very personal for me, but maybe you'd like to take it on, is drink tea. It's very special. It's very meaningful to me. I'll talk more about that in a subsequent episode. Number 11, prioritize laughter. I love laughing so much, and I love making others laugh. So I do prioritize laughter. 12, play games and play. Just play. Play. Number 13, write lists and create goals. Number 14, greet passersby by nodding and acknowledging them. I prefer using a nod, which is a little kind of mini bow. And I talk about this in the Vegan's Daily Companion about how I started nodding toward people as, you know, you're on the street and you pass each other by. Instead of just smiling, which I feel comes out inauthentic and fake, because it's hard to like just fake a smile if someone you don't know is coming your way and they're not really smiling and you just smile and hi, just didn't feel. So I started nodding as like a little bow, and oh my gosh, people just nod back and it is the most beautiful exchange. And I'll talk more about that, but nod at passersby. 15, read books. And if you'd like to listen to the last episode I did about books, life-changing books, I invite you to listen. And of course, read books is very high on my list. And I did talk in that episode about how one of the goals that I started creating for myself, and obviously number 13 was create goals, is to read 30 pages a day. Now that might sound like very little to some of you who read a lot more than that, but for me, I found myself getting distracted as I would sit down to read. If I said I'm going to sit down to read for an hour, that didn't necessarily mean I was reading 30 pages or 50 pages or 10. So the time frame wasn't working for me. But once I changed that to the number of pages I read a day, it's really made a difference in terms of how many books I'm getting through, but how many books I'm able to get to because I want to. So read books. Number 16, act with integrity when no one is watching, and do kind, compassionate things without telling anyone. Number 17, know your neighbors. Get to know your neighbors. Number 18, create a budget, follow it, revisit it, revise it, but have a budget. Have a budget. Number 19, know history, learn history, read history, watch history, whatever you do, know history. It is life-changing to understand the past so that you can better figure out the present, and everything just makes sense when you know history, my opinion. Number 20, value what you have. Don't create waste. Take responsibility for what you bring into your life. Don't keep what you don't value. Use and purchase only what you can value. Fix things that are broken. This is all along the zero waste philosophy, and that is very meaningful to me. Number 21, make things from scratch. Now, I am not a DIYer. I am not someone who builds things and create. I'm not. However, when I'm thinking about making things from scratch, I'm probably thinking for myself about food, because I really love making things from scratch. But creating things with your own hands, creating things from scratch, I think is very meaningful, and it brings a lot of meaning to my life. Number 22, tend to wildlife. So putting water out for wildlife, creating corridors for wildlife, planting native plants and flowers, making sure they have a habitat. One of my goals before I die is to save money to be able to set aside land. I mean, I want to be able to buy a significant amount of land, so I've got a long way to go to do that. But that is definitely on my list, is to be able to set aside wild space for wildlife. Number 23, surround yourself with beauty. Whatever that means to you, surround yourself with beauty. Number 24, walk everywhere. Now you can relate this to exercise. I love walking and hiking, and I also work out, but it's funny, that didn't go on my list. I guess you could just include it here, and by the time I do that episode, it probably would be, but walk everywhere is what I put. Number 25, forgive someone. Forgive everyone. Forgiveness does not mean you're condoning bad behavior. It means you're letting go of their hold on you or its hold on you. So forgive someone. Number 26, be of service. Spend time with animals. Donate, give, help, adopt, foster, volunteer for animals. Just be of service to animals. That is something that brings meaning to my life. Number 27, be discerning about what you choose to consume. And I mean consume in the broadest sense of the word. Food, what you put in your body. People, the people you spend time with in your life, the people you pay attention to, the people who you follow on social media. Be discerning about who that is. Consuming information, consuming words. So the news can, like, be discerning about, like, where you get your news and how you get your news. Be discerning about the mail you get, like, be discerning. And that also means be discerning about your time. And so there's a wonderful question I ask when I feel like I'm starting to go down a rabbit hole of social media or wasting time, or if someone asks me to do something, I ask myself, is this necessary? Right. And I think about the analogy, like if someone just came up to me and said, like, give me your money. And I'd say, like, no, like, it's my money. Like, I'm not going to just give you money because you ask. But we do that all the time with our time. Things that distract us, things that come in front of us basically say, give me your time. And we say, okay, here, take it. Right. So we squander it. So be discerning about how you spend your time. Be discerning about food, people, news, all of it. Say yes to things you want to say yes to, because if you say yes to things that you don't want to say yes to, that means you're saying yes to things you don't want to say yes to. So say yes to what you really want to do and say no to things you don't. That's number 27. Number 28 is write speech. You say this in any way you want. It's being mindful of the words we use, the language we use, what we're saying, if we're gossiping, if we're complaining, if we're speaking ill of others. If it's not true, don't say it, is something that Marcus Aurelius wrote. If it's not right, don't do it. If it's not true, don't say it. And that includes knowing when to be quiet. And I've talked about silent days, I think, on this episode, on this podcast at some point in 14 years. I think I definitely talk about it in Vegan's Daily Companion. So it's also about knowing when not to speak. Number 29, don't hurt anyone. And that seems obvious, but that's why I'm vegan. I just try to do my best to not hurt anyone. People, animals, I just don't want to hurt anyone. Number 30, have heroes. If someone were to ask you, who are five people you consider heroes and why? Know the answer to that question. Number 31, have a rich social community. I am so grateful to be surrounded by so many good friends. I am really, really grateful for the community that we have here, my husband and I, in the town we live in, and just in all ways. We just have such incredible people in our lives. We inspire each other. I'm inspired by my friends. They stretch me. They support me, and I try to do the same for them. We spend a lot of time together with our friends. We really do see them a lot. We have a lot of social engagements, a lot of dinners, I walk and hike with certain girlfriends every week. And I'm very grateful for that. So have a rich social community. It's very meaningful. Number 32, act locally. Get involved with local politics. Get to know local officials. Obviously vote. Be involved as an engaged citizen. Lots more to say about that. And in fact, I will say this, if you go to eastbayanimalpack.org, just search for it. That is the political action committee we started here in Oakland. Some of my friends and I have done it. Now we have a wonderful board and we're doing lots more. 2020, when I record this, is an election year and we are doing lots. But beyond 2020, we have so many exciting things to do. And being effective locally is incredibly empowering. And today I released a blog post on East Bay Animal Pack about the Oakland banning of wild animal acts. And Live Kindly is a website that I write for, and I wrote an article about the history of this. And I think it's really interesting. And it really, for me, I hope that people, one of the takeaways people get is that, you know, being engaged locally also helps you not get so obsessed about what's happening nationally. But also, there's a lot to say about how local politics makes a huge difference, not only in terms of, in the case of Ringling Brothers closing, such a great example of local politics having an effect on a commercial enterprise, an animal exploitation commercial enterprise, closed it down. And also, in addition to that, that when you are engaged with local politicians, officials, whatever you want to call them, they go on to do more work in their career and they'll take whatever they've learned from you with them. So do not underestimate the power of being engaged locally, and I'll have more to say. Number 33 is write letters, write cards. This includes writing to people you admire. This doesn't have to necessarily be a physical card, but writing to people you admire, thanking them for inspiring you, even if they're famous. I have always written to people that I admired. I've gotten like responses back. I remember when my DVD came out, I wrote to Ian McKellen. Did I ever mention this? Because I knew he was vegetarian and I wanted to give him a copy of my DVD. And he's an actor, if you don't know. He's a British actor. He's been around for a long, long time. And I just have always admired him. And so I wrote him a letter and thanked him for just being a voice. He's just a lovely person. And he wrote back, like a handwritten letter. And then years later, he was doing a play here in the Bay Area. I think it was in Berkeley, and at Berkeley Rep. And we went and I met him in the courtyard, and I gave him a copy of my book. I think it was On Being Vegan, and he was so thrilled by it. So you just never know. But I mean, it also just makes them feel really good. Don't think that people who even are famous are getting, you know, responses from people every day. I mean, I guess it's a little different now because of social media, but let someone know, let a writer know that you appreciate their work. Certainly reviews help. Writers, authors like me are very grateful for that, but just letting them know, like, that's what I mean when I say that your emails mean everything to me. That you take the time to write is super special. But also going beyond this idea of writing and making a gesture through a note, write thank you notes. I have a couple friends, they've inspired me to do this. I wasn't someone who would do this necessarily, but I'm doing it now. And I would have done it like via email, but I have some friends who send physical cards after we've had them over for dinner. And it is such a lovely gesture. Like, it is meaningful. And in the spirit of zero waste, I have plenty of cards from over the years, every different type of card. And so I can use these to send thank you notes to friends. It really makes people feel special. Period. Number 34, stretch your comfort zones. Practice changing a habit for the sake of it. Just for the sake of it, and note what you observe. Because we're such creatures of habit, stretch your comfort zones and practice changing a habit for the sake of it. I'll have more to say about that. Number 35, do not multitask. Be present, face forward, focus. Do not multitask. There is so much evidence that it's so damaging, that it's not healthy, that it's not helpful. Do not multitask. Number 36, remember people's birthdays and celebrate them. Remember people's birthdays. And again, I think, you know, this is a boon when it comes to social media because we've got lots of sites that we tend to be on a lot, like Facebook, will let you know if it's someone's birthday. And even though, you know, a bunch of people are writing on their wall and it doesn't seem like it's special, it actually is. When I see people write on my wall, friends, followers, whoever, it is meaningful. They took that time. They took that moment. And I really appreciate it. One thing I do also like, and I'm just going to combine it with this, is, I love this. I read this in The Hobbit. Give gifts on your birthday. When it's your birthday, give a gift. So I'm recording this not on the day of my birthday. I'm recording this just a couple days before my birthday. And I am having a dinner at Millennium with 10 friends, 9 friends on the 10th. And I got a copy of The Daily Stoic, which is a book that was written by Ryan Holiday. And he is a modern day Stoic and a teacher of Stoicism. And he's a real inspiration to me. And I just love his book and I use it every day. And so I usually get books for friends. Like I get the same book for friends at Christmas time. So 1 year it was The Tao Te Ching. 1 year it was Meditations. 1 year it was Zuberbia. I can't remember what else. But this year for my birthday, I got them The Daily Stoic. And so I wrapped each book and I'm bringing it with me to dinner and I will give it to each of my friends. And I just love it because it just, I love the idea that hobbits do it. Number 37. This might sound funny to you, but make your bed. Make your bed every day. Oh, I love it. Makes a huge difference. Number 38, create a soundtrack for your life. Create a soundtrack for your day. Music that reflects your different moods, different activities. I have certain music that I listen to when I'm writing, and it becomes pretty much just like this wonderful rhythm in the background that just keeps me like writing and motivated and moving. My soundtrack also includes white noise when I sleep. I don't sleep without white noise. I used to have white noise machines. I still do, but I used to actually travel with them. But now, luckily, with apps, another reason to celebrate technology, on my phone, there's an app called White Noise. I'm sure there's plenty of apps. The one that I use is called White Noise, and I use one. I can't remember which one I use, but it's a stream. And I'm very grateful to my husband because he, you know, has to listen to it as well. And he's not someone like he doesn't like when he travels or when I'm not home, he doesn't put white noise on. But luckily he allows me to have it. And even though we live in a quiet neighborhood, it's too quiet for me. And I like to have the white noise. So I sleep with white noise every day. So it's part of my soundtrack for the day, in addition to music, in addition to different types of music for different things. So create a soundtrack for your day, create a soundtrack for your life. Number 39, make plans, have things to look forward to, and create planned surprises. I will talk more about that. Some of you may be aware of that. Something David and I do is we create planned surprises for each other. Number 40, be spontaneous. Create space for the unexpected. So make plans is number 38. Be spontaneous is number 40. Number 41 is expectations lead to disappointment. Much more to say about that. Number 42, memorize something, anything, a poem, a passage, a quote, whatever it is. Memorize something. More to say about that. Number 43, this is more orientation than action. Try to understand the point of view of people whose worldview is different from your own. Most people, even those whose worldviews are different, and even antithetical, have a reason for thinking the way they do. I know we are inclined to say that they're just wrong and bad and evil, and no, that's horrible. There's probably a reason. It's just different from yours. And asking a question like why are they doing what they're doing and why do they think the way they think allows you to step back and create some objectivity and understand. So it is an orientation and it is good practice, and I'll have more to say about that. But try to understand the point of view of people whose worldview is different from your own. You can do the five whys. If you don't know what the five whys is, it's a really wonderful practice. You can look it up online, but you know, why do they think the way they do? Well, because they're just selfish. Well, why are they selfish? Well, because I don't know, their kid got sick. Well, you know, and so they were afraid they were going to die. Well, then, literally you get to this, you push and push and push and push until you get to understanding more. Maybe that wasn't a good example, but you get the idea. And like, why do they think the way they do? Number 44, there is nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. One of my favorite quotes from Shakespeare, and I have always believed this, that how we think about things determines our experience. It's not the experience itself. It's one of the reasons I was so thrilled to find the Stoics, because that's exactly it. That's a Stoic principle, like one of the main tenets of Stoicism is that it's not what happens in the world that matters. It's how we think about what happens. That means if something is done to us, we think something is done to us, we think someone's hurt us. There's a wonderful quote. Here's one that I memorized, and I'm just pulling this out of my elbow right now, from Marcus Aurelius. I got to think about it for a second. Choose not to be hurt and you won't feel hurt. Don't feel hurt and you haven't been. Like, oh my God, that is so powerful. And I know people want to be like, no, but that person offended me, or that person hurt me, that person slapped me. It's still our choice how we respond to it. It's still in our agency how we respond even to offense. So, and even to, even to a violation. So more to say. That's number 44. There is nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Number 45, love where you live and live where you love, if you can. I understand this is not possible all the time, but love where you live. If you can't live where you love where you live. So that's possible. Number 46, create daily romance. And for those of you who are not in a romantic relationship, yes, you know, this is something you can hold on to for when you are, but this is something you could obviously do even in platonic relationships. But leave little love notes, send texts, tell them what you appreciate about them. This does not have to be just for a romantic relationship, but create that every day. Number 47, this is more of an orientation as well, but worry less about people who don't agree with you and harness instead the power and energy of the people who do agree with you, and then get to work. I just focus on what you know to be true and the people who also know that to be true, and just go do your work and just stop worrying about people who don't agree. Number 48, have a philosophy to live by. Number 49, write your manifesto. A manifesto is a declaration of your beliefs, your opinions, your motives, your intentions. It's a document that you can create that declares what's important to you. Write your own manifesto. And number 50, to bring things full circle from where we started, related to knowing that our time on this earth is short and we must make meaning of it while we can. Number 50 is write your eulogy and your obituary, and write the eulogy of loved ones. Now, this is related to the concept of memento mori, which is Latin for remember you will die. And that might sound morbid, but it shouldn't be. As I said in the beginning of this episode, the one thing we all have in common is that we all will die. Death is the great equalizer. It's the ultimate democracy. Knowing that the end will come, but not knowing when it will be, is what compels me to create as meaningful a life as possible. It's not about necessarily what I will be remembered for once I'm gone. Of course, I can't control that. But writing a eulogy at least enables me to position my life. Like if this is what I would write about what my life was, then am I living that, right? I mean, can I back into that and say, yeah, I'm doing that. But that orients you to creating as much meaning as you can. And that's what I try to do. And making sure that I can help the people in my life know that they are meaningful to me. I want to help create meaning in their lives as well by letting them know that they're meaningful to me. And so I'll have more to say about this on the episode that focuses on this topic. But memento mori is number 50. And so on that note, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you which 10 topics you would like me to focus on first. We've got 50 here, and I've got probably 50 more, if not more, probably 100 more elsewhere. And I will be doing those as well. But I'd love to hear from you which 10 topics you'd like me to focus on and break out more, in more detail. And I have a lot to cover in other topics. And I really am going to be working on more animology episodes. So I'd love to know which ones you'd like me to prioritize. Please go to the show notes for today's episode at ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com, where you can list your top 10. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to hear what items are on your list for living a meaningful life for the animals. This is Colleen Patrick Gaudreau. Thank you for listening, and happy birthday to all of you whenever your birthday is.